Hello, everybody. Welcome back to CORE, episode 223. It is Wednesday, June 10th, 2020. I'm Scott Johnson. Bo Schwartz and John Jagger are joining me. We're here to talk about video games. We are precisely we are precisely one day ahead of the Sony reveal of the actual PlayStation 5 hardware and hopefully a bunch of other stuff. No stage, no audience, some kind of weird video-only thing. We don't know what the presentation looks like yet. But the good news is John and I, like E3s of the past, will be covering whatever that weirdness is tomorrow live at 1 p.m. So if you're hearing this and you're like, oh, I want to be there for that, 1 p.m. That Pacific time, 2 p.m. Mountain time where I am, right here at frogpants.tv. We'll also put it up on YouTube. And, of course, next week, talk all about whatever the heck they talked about. But check that out tomorrow. That'd be great. We'd have Bo there, except he works for a living at the moment. I mean, so would John, but things are weird right now. So we're taking advantage of a little. Don's got a little time off, and for reasons.
Little time off. Yeah. We don't know how long it's going to go. It could go for a little while. It could go for a long while. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll say it's not meant. It's not intentional time off. He didn't choose to have the time off, but time off nonetheless. So we're going to use it for that. It'll be fun, and we'll find out what's going on with Sony tomorrow, so check back in then. Let's do this. Speaking of video games, Electronic Arts. Wait, I'm on the wrong tab. Is this the right tab? Yeah, 223. Yeah. Electronic Arts are back on Steam. Not entirely, though. Not entirely. They're not their whole catalog. Like, I don't think I can go play... What was that game we all were disappointed in? Anthem. Like, there's no Anthem on Steam yet.
No, they didn't bring Anthem over, oddly enough. they weren't like, man, this will finally fill out the numbers for Anthem.
Well, they didn't. They also didn't include...
I wouldn't even just want it to get review bombed.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be really bad.
Literally, that's all it would just be troll fodder.
It's already bad. It's already a bunch of that anyway with, like, the game that John and I just picked up again. What's it called? Burnout Paradise. That's the word.
Burnout Paradise. Yep.
And I still can't launch it. I crash at the intro MOV thing. And there's a whole bunch of forum threads about it. And EA has said nothing so far. And apparently this was a problem on Origin as well. So I don't know if they care that much, but I can't play the game at all. We'll talk about that later because John did play. And we'll try to figure out why his setup's different than mine because I should have been able to play it and I didn't. It
just well,
didn't
sort work. Of. I mean, I guess I can spoil this story. I did get the remake, whatever, the remaster, the up-res, the new one.
Yeah.
I did get it. I haven't played it on Steam yet.
Oh, okay.
I have played it before on Origin, and I actually played the old one like 2 days before they added it. And I was like, man, I love Burnout Paradise. I could sure go for that. And then we saw it on there for $5. And we were like, $5 for Burnout Paradise? What a steal. And it turns out maybe it's not a great investment because apparently you can't get it to launch. And apparently you still need Origin to play it.
Yeah, you need Origin to play it. It's a little like you play that way. It just sort of runs in the background sort of thing. But it's fine. I don't care about that as much as just actually being able to play it, and it just won't launch. It's a common problem too. You get to the intro movie with DJ Atomicon or whatever his name is, and he's going, "All right," and he starts talking, and you get the whole video showing the city and all the kind of prefab of what you're going to do in the game. It takes a good, I don't know, that's like 30 or 40 seconds of intro. You can't skip, and then you get to the end of it, and as soon as it ends and it fades out, crash the desktop. Every time. And I thought, why is that happening to me? I look it up, happening to everybody. And some people say, oh, disable second monitors or webcams or it's like some kind of hardware thing. So I haven't tried any of that yet, but we'll see. But the point is,
I was going to say that's about the time they turn on your webcam to take your picture. So I wonder if it has anything to do with that.
Oh, you know what? I think you're probably right, because why else would it do that? You're right, it does do that, because back when that thing was new on the 360 and the PlayStation 3, that's when it would say, oh, I see you have a 360 camera or whatever, what was the PlayStation Eye, we're ready to take your photo. And that's exactly the place, because you make your little license and everything. But I'm going to call that bad programming. I'm going to say, EA, that's bad. You should not have that problem. That should not crash for people. So fix it so I can play your damn game. Anyway, EA's back. A bunch of their games are up there. The other stuff you don't see up there, we mentioned Anthem, but you're not going to see things like Battlefield or Battlefront. which are successful franchises on Origin. And certainly, well, I shouldn't say certainly, not yet. I don't see any hide nor hair of Apex Legends, which one would think would end up over there at some point. So I don't know what their plan is. This is all old stuff right now. And
yeah, we know there's going to be some level of rollout to it. So they are bringing their subscription service over to Steam as well, where there will be certain perks and things like that that will apply over on the Steam side as well. That's been a little bit vague, but it hasn't been launched yet. So it definitely seems like they're dipping their toe in and kind of mending that relationship. I hope it's successful because honestly, the part I like least about Origin is using Origin. So if I could get those games on Steam, I'd be happy to.
Yeah.
I'd probably play a lot more EA games, honestly.
I probably would too. I've hardly played any. It feels like they're relenting. This is finally a moment where they're like, all right, we tried, and we tried for a long time. They were the first Steam challenger, right? Back in the time. Mm-hmm. So they were the ones to say, hey, we don't think Steam should get all the fun. We're going to go make our own. And they've never really been able to get out of the basement on that thing. It's just, you would have reasons to go there sometimes. Like, well, I can only get Apex Legends over there, so I'm going to have to install it. Or it's the only way I get this cool Star Wars game, so I got to install it. And I would even argue that we've talked about it on the show before, but their subscription stuff's pretty valuable if you look at the actual content. It's just that launcher sucks. It's just a poopy bag of poopy poop. Everyone complains about the Epic one, but I'll take the Epic one over that any day. It's just easier to use.
Oh, yeah. So we tried to do, when we were playing Battlefront 2, we tried to do voice chat over that. And we ended up having to come up with a solution where we just turned the volume down on people all the way because there was no quick and easy access to a mute option for people. Like, yeah, it's weird. There's weird stuff that just exists in there that you're like, they didn't figure this out. Yeah. You've been around for a long time.
This is how you know when your launcher's bad. When people fire up the BattleNet launcher to use voiceover for it in your EA games over on Origin. Like, that happened a few times with me. So, Bo, what do you think about all this? You ready to dive back into the back catalog and get all your EA on? Which won't be confusing at all in an environment on Steam where there's also another EA, which is Early Access, that everyone uses as an acronym. That'll be fun. Let's get that going again. But what do you think? How do you feel? You want to play those games again?
I mean, I haven't thought about it at all. So so I feel nothing, basically.
Yeah.
Don't care.
Just a
kind of don't care, if that makes sense.
Sure. What would drive you?
Sorry.
I mean, you played Apex, and we've talked about maybe getting in there again sometime, just see how things are going.
No, I'm pretty much done with it.
Done?
I have to be realistic about the amount of time I spend in games, and with great new games like Deep Space Galactic
Deep
and
Rock,
others, it's just... Oh, oop. Deep Rock Galactic. With games like Deep Rock Galactic, I'm just not thinking about them. I'm not thinking about a lot of other games right now because that game, I have meat and potatoes. I'm playing Divinity 2 and the other one, and I really haven't given much thought to anything else last week.
Yeah, I just think it's, I don't know, just interesting to see them throw the towel in a little bit. Doesn't mean Origin's going away. Obviously, the launcher still has to sort of be there for some of these games to play. But yeah, the money is where the money is. So what are you doing? Like, get over here where the money is. That makes sense. Like, you're starting to see some of this, like, you know, they get the early money from Epic to do their stuff over there. But like, what's the factory one? Not Factorio.
Satisfactory,
which launched exclusively in early access on Epic and still is in early access. There are a few updates in, but it's still early access, is now finally available on Steam. So they're out of that window of exclusivity. I hope what that gave them was, I don't know what that gave them. I guess it gave them money. They got money from Epic to do that, right? Because what they didn't get is a large audience, which they're now going to get because they're on Steam where the audience just is. And so, I don't know. We're going to start seeing some of that stuff pan out, but I feel like Steam just like holding the line a little bit was actually in their favor because they didn't need to do much, change much. Epic's freaking out over here. Everybody else doing their thing over here. And Steam's just like, just straight ahead. We're fine.
You know. Like this thing that they have going over at Epic, like that's not, is like, maybe it is sustainable. It just doesn't seem like a sustainable plan to me. And it's not that they're giving away money, because I know they make money other ways. They can do this for decades, get a free game a week.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome one. Yeah. It's just, at a certain point, you know, let's say it's your birthday and you're like, your kid, you're like, I want a Nintendo. And boom, your birthday comes and you get a Nintendo and you're like, you guys are the best. And let's say you're like, wow, our kid really liked when he got that Nintendo. I bet you he'd react that way every day if we go to the store, the Zellers here in Canada, for any Canadians listening, that'll...
What's a Zellers?
The nice store. It's basically a Target. It's our Target.
Oh, but okay.
They're all shut down now. You know, they don't exist anymore.
Oh, all right.
So deep Canadian cut on the Zellers.
Yeah.
So you go to your Zellers and you buy a game. And then the second day, it's awesome. Now we're like day 256 and you're buying the 256th game for the kid. And you're like, hello, son. I brought you a gift. And your son's like, go beep yourself. And it does not care because there's only so much time to play games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so what I feel like is happening here is just like, they can give me all the free games I want. I can't invent the time to play them. So they need to, like, I really just wish the game industry would stop undercutting the shit out of each other this way. Because it's I just don't think it's not a money proposition. Like, imagine any other industry. It's like, we're not selling steaks. Let's make the price zero so people will get steaks. It's like, no one wins. Like, businesses have to make money. So I don't like this idea that they're giving away the house just so that people can be there, because I feel it just devalues games. And if the developers are really benefiting from it, that's limited. Like, people in their ecosystem who only play Fortnite are like, sweet, we're getting this free Saints Row. Awesome, sweet, we're getting this sweet GTA. They're going back to play Fortnite. They don't want to play 500 other games. They came to Epic for other reasons. And so you're the leftovers when you're getting all this. Like, right now it's good. Whoever got in early is probably benefiting. But I can't imagine that forever. That's a big boon forever. Can that be?
I don't think that's their long-term plan. I think their plan was, I don't know how long the plan's for, but I think the plan is, you get a lot of top-loaded stuff that's exclusive that drives people to use the service. Before you know it, you've got a really good base of users. And then when some of that stuff starts to peter out, you shift over to, yeah, we're a big store. Maybe we're still second to Steam, but we're big enough to do our thing. I don't think they're there yet. Like, not even close. They're still subsidizing everything, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same reason I don't leave Steam. Like, they're trying to make their own version of me for their store. And I respect that, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just... like, I just, my reaction is like, people like, just, you need to go in the store. There's a game being given away for free. And I'm like, I don't want it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I don't know if that's my age. I don't know if I was 18 and I was getting free games from Epic every week, I'd probably be very excited.
Yeah.
So it's probably not for me anyway.
It's a deluge these days. So it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just a let's get eyeballs in our store. You know, if you say I've got a bunch of games on this platform, you're more likely to stick with it. Problem is they're coming in very late. So, you know, most people have that library on Steam, but I think they are targeting, I think their aim is younger people. I think their aim is, okay, let's get the kids who are in here for Fortnite and, you know, are playing this game and they're already in here, and let's see what we can do to keep them here and keep them spending money here. And I think that's probably a decent market. I would say, just to play a little devil's advocate, to your point, Bo, I mean, I think more than free games, I think Steam's policy of we'll just throw whatever the hell comes our way that people call a game has actually devalued games from my perspective more than anything. I mean, the free games are cool, and I definitely agree with your point there, where it's like, at a certain point, how many of those have I actually played? Like, if I go back and look at the play time on the free games I've picked up, there's not a lot. In fact, I don't know if I've played any of them. But I go to Steam and it's like, oh, well, what's new? What's coming out? What's great? And I go down the list and it's like, Horn, a ripoff of something.
You know, you can set your preferences to stop seeing that.
Yeah, but
you...
then what are we going to talk about on this show?
No, that's why. That's the same reason I didn't turn it off.
Yeah,
I was like, I should look at these cartoon boobies, but I am a podcaster. I need to know the truth about things, like a journalist, basically.
Yeah.
Would, yeah. would you turn your eyes away from Fallujah if you were a reporter? No. So I've got to turn my eyes to.
Whoa! Look at you deep cutting into the Iraq War. Nice job, early aughts over here. Breaking news:
The Iraq War. Interest in the Iraq War is making a comeback. I think.
Yeah, it's time to, for more movies and all that stuff. It'll probably happen. It's how society goes. But what was I going to say? I was trying to, because when John, you said the comment, I don't think I've played much of what you've got for free over there on Epic, and I've played more than I thought I would with the free games that I got. I ended up playing a whole bunch of the Batman stuff again, but I already own that somewhere else. So I actually think I went to Steam to play it, but I was reminded about it because I got the free whole set thing over there on there. But what's the Miami one that's like a 2D GTA?
Hotline Miami?
No, something Miami. Miami Heat. It's different than Hotline Miami. It's set in like 80s.
I was going to say everything you were saying sounds like Hotline Miami.
Oh, I can't. Hold on. Miami Game Epic Store. It's up there. It's called Shakedown Hawaii. Sorry, nothing to do with Miami.
I get why you'd be confused. It's that neon cop stuff.
It totally is. It's like this 80s thing, and it's very fun and very cool, and it was free. So I played a whole bunch of that, probably a good 2-3 hours of that. And I really enjoyed it. There have been moments like that for me on the Epic Store. And even games I already have owned and played like crazy on Steam and other places, I go and make sure to lock it in just because it's free. Why not? It doesn't matter. I don't have to download it. But I've got GTA on the Epic Store. If suddenly the world flips and everyone hates Steam and they all flood to the Epic, well, at least I got that library that was, you know, a thing I picked out. But all that being said, you could make the argument that the glut all over, and John's point is I think a good point. There was a lot of glut happening on Steam. There's a lot of glut happening in the Switch eShop. There's a ton of glut happening on both shops for Xbox and PlayStation. It's kind of a video game thing in general, where it used to be back in the day, you had one or two big titles a month you look forward to, if even that. And then maybe a little thing here or there. And that has slowly gotten to the point where now it's 150 things a day. And maybe some of that's interesting, but you're not even sure it's rising to the top or not. And then the stuff that you get lucky with, like Deep Rock, took a year and a half of development before 2/3 of us even really gave it any time, right? So it's just weird. The market is so freaking weird. In some ways, it's an embarrassment of riches. And in other ways, it's that psychological thing where too much choice is no choice at all. So it's a worthy discussion, but part of me is like, oh man, I love how much stuff there is. But then I look at my Steam library. I have 1,800 games in Steam, not installed, but things I've had over the years, tons of free stuff. People gave me codes and that, but it's just tons of games that I'm not going to go back to 99% of that. And even the stuff I have installed, I'm not going to go back to 90% of that. Mm-hmm. So right now it's like I'm focusing on 2 or 3 titles. That's how it used to be. I think that's what the human brain's capable of. I don't think I'm meant to go game hopping. And I do that a lot. I like experimenting. I like downloading weird apps on my phone. I like checking out a weird Korean MMO on PC and then a ripoff version of that on the iPad just to see what the difference is. Like, I like doing that. But even then, where I really want to actually spend my gaming hours, the real gaming hours, I have to be picky. So I tend to spend my time on Steam because that's where my stuff is. Anyway, I don't know if we actually properly broached the subject of EA doing this, but hey, at least...
Well, I mean, it's good. It makes sense for EA. Origin sucks. It's always going to suck.
Yeah.
That's true.
There's no getting better on Origin.
Sorry, if they hate that and they want to fight against it, then that's their destiny, but...
I don't remember what it was. I had to do something with Origin, like support, and it made me believe, like, the turnaround time on it made me think that they didn't have any employees working at the support center for Origin. And I was like, this is EA. This is a big company. And then I was like, it's Origin. And I was like, I guess that makes sense.
Well, what was it? Do you remember what you had to do?
I can't remember. There's been a couple things recently that I've run into where it's like, oh, I need to contact somebody about this issue or this issue. I'll tell you the one that I do remember was Guild Wars 2. I couldn't remember my password. And that game apparently came out right at the cusp of the end of CD keys. Mm. And I don't think I can play Guild Wars 2 without repurchasing it at this point.
Yeah, no, me neither. I've emailed them several times to ask them for my key, and they're like, send me some weird, I can't remember, just...
Yeah, they want to know a lot of personal data. They're like, what email did you use? Where were you? What was your CD key? I'm like, I don't have the CD anymore.
Yeah.
Are you crazy? Do you know what year it is? Do you know who still has their CDs for this stuff?
Yeah. Well, now, so that's the nice thing about Steam is your name and your password and hopefully your two-factor authentication are your key. And every game associated with you is, that's all you're ever going to need. And yeah. So it still means we have to rely on Valve to do right by all the millions of us until the end of time, you know?
Yeah, they just have to keep it together.
Yeah. And that's a big deal to expect that from any company in any industry. Just in perpetuity, please never screw up so bad that this is lost or that we lose our access to the things that we've technically bought, but really we're sort of renting. You know what I mean? Or we paid a one-time rental fee to keep. But anytime now the man's coming to pick it up and put it in a truck and drive off. Like, I'm under no illusions that there's any permanence here, but I don't know. I don't like thinking about it.
I do think this new like rental model that we're kind of falling for, like some of it's a good deal, but is becoming preparing us in a lot of ways, because I really, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to stream and I was like, man, you know what? I really want to play that new, Jedi Fallen Order game again. I want to play through that thing. And then I remembered, oh yeah, I didn't buy it. I just did the EA thing and I played through that.
Right.
And then I kind of had to come to terms with the fact that, like, here's a game that I've played through, that I've beaten, that I now technically don't have access to anymore because I don't have that subscription anymore. Right. And then I thought about buying it on sale, but then it's like, well, now it's not a save. I'm not going to get the benefits of a new game plus. It's on a different thing. It's on a different service. And I noticed that I went to play a game in the Xbox store and it said, like, you got 6 days left on this one. And I was like, oh no, this is going away in 6 days. I still didn't play it, but it just like triggered in my brain. Like, oh no, it's almost gone.
What was the game? Do you remember what the game was? Just curious. Microsoft game. Cause I did this too.
Browsing through and I looked at a bunch of them.
I did this too.
I think it might have been the Master Chief Collection, actually.
Oh, I think that's. I thought all the Microsoft stuff was staying forever. Is that not true?
It might be, but it said 14 days left or something like that when I looked at it. So I don't know if that's true, but it did say that next to it.
Oh, weird.
And maybe it re-ups. Maybe something changes. I don't know.
But I know the third party stuff like Willow of the Wisps and stuff like that, which I do want to get back to and try to beat. Those are not there in perpetuity. So there's a lot of that stuff's time, but I thought maybe you're freaking me out right now, but I thought Microsoft titles were permanent.
So I'll look right now.
I just don't remember. And if it's like my install of the freaking app, it'll take 9 years to load. So good luck. You can hate that thing. It's a beast. They got to work on that.
I always just go to the store and then just click it.
Like the Windows Store or the
the Windows Store. Like, it's already up for me.
So that's probably better. It's weird how they do this. They have the Windows Store, but they also have that separate Xbox for PC app thing that is just a little Xbox logo, and you run that. And in theory, it's good because it's just all games and it's okay the way it's all listed out. It just, for some reason, the initial load takes forever for JPEGs to load. I don't understand what's going on with that thing.
Weird. So maybe this just means the sale price that they're offering with Game Pass, but it says under price, $39.99 crossed off. Then it says $31.99 with your Xbox Game Pass membership, 20% off, 5 days left.
For the Master Chief Collection.
For the Master Chief Collection.
Oh, that's weird.
I don't know what that 5 days left means.
That's some weird messaging. I don't know what they mean either. I think this one, we got to figure that this is, I think they're screwing up over there. That's not clear what you're doing.
No. And it's actually kind of hard to find the games that you get with the pass. If you go to the store, I don't know about on the Xbox app, but it's hard to see which ones have it. There's no easy sort by.
Yeah.
I want them to clean it up. Honestly, they're the ones I want to come to Steam. And what's his name? The guy in charge of Xbox has said that he's not necessarily opposed to it.
Right.
So that's what I'm waiting for. Didn't some Xbox stuff get put on there? Yeah, Sea of Thieves just popped up there. So maybe we're getting there with them too.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Gears of War's on there. They've been doing all their new releases. Yeah. The Gears Tactics is also on there. So yeah, I think. It's not part of their subscription thing. That's what I would like to see is an integration there somehow. They're not probably going to do that. But the Xbox app is doing everything you're asking for, except it's just dirt slow and very beta. But it's got the functionality of like, here's everything that's Game Pass. Here are games that aren't Game Pass. Like, it's real simple that way. It just takes forever to load, and it makes you want to punch yourself in the testicle, left one usually.
Well, I'm giving them $5 a month. They can invest it in making it better.
That's what I would say. I think they've been very successful with it. It's done well on PC. So get your crap together, Microsoft.
Here's the thing that's amazing about it. It's maybe the one thing in gaming that gets brought up that I hear the most positive feedback about when people talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like every time we talk about it on the show, someone in chat goes, man, that's the best $5 I spend a month, or you don't get a better deal in gaming than that. And honestly, I'm inclined to agree. I've gotten a lot of use out of it.
Yeah.
I've played some pretty major games for that $5 a month. So I'm very satisfied with it, but it's not often in gaming where you get people that unanimous about liking it.
Well, especially in a market that's super, they get really mad about the Epic thing. Or anyone else, trying to be their new launcher, yet they've been able to do that in a way that I think is just, it doesn't have the vitriol around it. It's weird. It's a very strange thing. And you'd think there might be some, because get your console people out of here. We don't need you kind of attitude that some gamers might have about it. But they've also made really good ports. So the PC ports have been solid and play really well and better than the Xbox versions in some cases. So they're just doing it right in that regard. Their launcher needs work, though. So work on that. Then come talk to me, Microsoft. Hey, the next 3 Destiny 2 expansions have been announced. Does anyone care about Destiny?
Only Destiny players, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if they do, though, because I saw some of that new stuff on Steam, and it had the markings of they're doing something we don't like, because I highlighted it and it said reviews mostly negative.
Uh-oh.
Which usually when you get into mostly negative territory for a big game, it's because the company's doing something that has made the people upset, not because the content itself is one thing or another, but because players are mad.
Do you know anything in particular they're up in arms about?
No. Man, but I could probably find out. Let's click the thing.
I'm actually a little surprised, Bo, that you weren't all in on Destiny. I know you played it, but I thought you'd be.
Destiny's
seemed like your jam.
Warframe got to me first. I mean, I think Destiny's pretty good, but Destiny feels very empty. That was my impression. Warframe doesn't feel empty to me, but Destiny, like these open areas, like it's like an MMO with like 2 other people logged in and nobody else was playing it. Maybe if it was like a Deep Rock situation where everyone was like, we're going to log in today to play Destiny, I'd probably be into it more. But
right.
Yeah, and it's too, I like shooter games, but I don't like shooter games that want to mimic the Call of Duty aesthetic, basically. And the guns are too much like that. It was my same problem with Planetside 2. Like, that's why I like Doom, the new Doom. There's like aim down sights is not really a thing. I'm not trying to be a Sniper McGee. I'm just trying to be a crazy thing. Overwatch is another good example of the kind of shooter I like.
Yeah.
It's not all aim down. It's like, it is a competitive Twitch game, but there are expressions of mechanics in the game that are just beyond, pixel perfect shooting.
Right.
And like crazy, super lethal, weird tactics. Destiny kind of just struck me as following that gunplay aesthetic too much.
Probably why you would not probably. Well, we haven't talked about it much on the show, but Valorant is out now and no longer in beta and playable and all that. And I haven't really dove in for any particular amount of time. Partly because I'm a little put off by its adherence to the CS:GO kind of model of. I'm running around a corner and that dude just popped me in the head without having to do much and I'm dead already. And I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that right now.
Yeah. Like I can watch CSGO and be like, man, that's hard. This is really cool. But I can also look at it and go like, I don't want to play this. This doesn't look interesting for me, but it's interesting as an esport a bit. I watched it. Mm-hmm. So when Valorant comes out and it's like, yeah, it's Counter-Strike, but you can also put like colorful swirls around. There's not enough in there to be like, oh yeah, you got me. Like, it's just like, whatever. Right. You've reskinned it and put a few extra things. And there are people who are going to love that.
Oh yeah. Already it's a
specific
group
of people. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the number one Twitch thing at the moment, isn't it? Let me see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a Riot product and people are fans of Riot. And
it's just a little more serious than I want to be.
Mm.
If that makes sense. Like I was kind of into it and I was like, oh man, you know, I did love Counter-Strike and, you know, Riot, you know, even if I don't necessarily love the games they've made, they make some good games. Like we can maybe pay a little attention to them and maybe have something of theirs to get into. And then I just started, the more I looked into it, I was like, people take it too seriously. Like it's just, I think that's why a game like Battlefront 2 appealed to me so much and why I fell down that rabbit hole for so long was it was a game where I could just disappear in. I could be good. Mm-hmm. I could be bad. And it was all, it really only impacted me.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter. Yeah. And I'm not looking for a game to try hard in right now, I guess is the best way.
That is so me right now. I totally feel that. Okay. So I'm looking at the top stuff. It's interesting actually when you log into the Twitch main page now or in the browse, they don't actually give you the most, the least by default. They give you suggestions, recommendations for you. And the first one is Just Chatting, which I'm always in. Deep Rock Galactic is up next, but it's only got 641 viewers of any type right now. Then Art, then Dungeons and Dragons, then Jackbox. Like this thing knows what I like to do. But if you look at it from highest to lowest, it's actually not ranked that high. League of Legends in second place behind Just Chatting, which is like podcasts and, you know, talking heads and ASMR and all that stuff. Fortnite, Warzone, Grand Theft Auto 5, which is just nuts to me, that game, dude. Just continues to blow my mind. CSGO, Free Fire. What the hell's that? Garena Free Fire. I don't even know what that game is. And then Valorant. So Valorant's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're 8th. I could have done that math just by looking at this grid of 5, 2 rows of 5, but I had to count.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, World of
Some
Warcraft
of those games
is,
are like spike up when there's events and load down when it's just regular time.
Yeah. Plus sometimes it's just one dude can shift the whole thing. Like, you know, Dr.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So Dr. Disrespect gets on there and it's like, oh, okay. Everyone's watching that now. So it doesn't really count, but. Anyway, Valorant. It's a thing I may play more of just to see what the hell's going on, but I find it intimidating.
Oh, so. Also, the people are mad about Destiny 2 because the thing that came with the thing they bought didn't show up right away. It's stupid.
Nothing to do with the game. It's a physical thing?
Yeah, it's moved up to mixed as a result of people figuring out that they didn't get screwed. So,
well, welcome to COVID-19 town. Like we got a pandemic and a social uprising at the moment. It's okay if your thing's a couple days late, right?
I don't know. I still feel about Destiny 2 what I tweeted that day, which is for some reason, no matter what, Destiny 2 always costs me an extra $60.
I love like, this
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I love it. I get that. Yeah.
Anytime I've ever been like, maybe I'll get into Destiny 2, it cost me $60. It cost me $60 when I tried it the first time. Then I put it down and I thought, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll get back into it. And it cost $60 that time. And if I want to get into it right now, it's going to cost me $60 again.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, I know what it was. They were giving it away for free, but then you had to buy Shadowkeep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here, play Destiny for free. But if you want to be where, because it's a ghost town.
Yeah.
If you want to be in the non-ghost town.
Yeah, plus that's supposed to be ghost town. The good content was the expansion you had
then
to buy.
$60. So I dropped it. I was like, whatever. It seems pretty fun.
Yeah.
But it was a ghost town.
Yeah.
Like they have a way of making that game look super hype. And when you play it, you're like, this is not hype. The story sucks. The voice acting sucks. Like there's nothing interesting to me about the lore. And I don't think it's why. if it's not widely appealing, it's not a fault of the genre, but the execution of the game.
Right.
And then they killed the only thing people really liked, which was the Nathan Fillion character.
Oh, yeah, they
or
did.
Or whatever, you know, that Cade guy. And Cade was cool. Like, I kind of like Cade.
Yeah.
See, it's the only thing. But I don't like that everyone's just a human all the time, except for the enemies that are only big versions of, you know.
They're just enlarged.
They were not big. Having played Doom, especially after, I'm like, a single player campaign game has way more creativity mechanically and graphically than you can come up with in your team-based shooter filled with variety. Yeah. Like, it's pretty embarrassing.
I agree.
Sorry, Bungie. Release Destiny 3. Try again.
I think we just live in a world where so many games come out and they're a problem and they're rough and companies fix them. Like, that's not an uncommon thing. And it sucks that you put out a game that people didn't like at first, and it's cool that it eventually got there. Yeah. But you look at the No Man's Skies and you look at games like that, and in most cases, that upgrade to it being great was free. It was something they put out and they did. There's a couple of exceptions. Diablo, a lot of the stuff in Diablo 3 was free, but it was when an expansion came out that most of that hit. But for some reason, Destiny is just one of those games that's like, ah, well, yeah, we screwed the pooch, but give us another $60 and the content's really good finally.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I don't want to pay $120 for the good game. I want to pay $60 and have the initial game be good and be so good that I'm then willing to buy into your expansions. And they didn't do that with Destiny 1 and they didn't do that with Destiny 2. And both times I'm like, I am not going to spend this level of money on this game in the hopes that they'll figure it out.
Yeah. And yet, people do, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what that community is like these days, but Destiny 3 is probably right around the corner. Speaking of Diablo 4, we didn't put it in the notes, but there was that 20 minutes of gameplay video that ended up all over the place. Did you guys end up seeing any of that or watching the barbarian stuff?
I did. I think I watched the first few frames, and I'm like, oh, this looks pretty similar to what I've seen. I think I'm going to wait.
Yeah, there's nothing here to really blow anyone's mind. It's low-level stuff. He's just grinding his way through a dungeon. It looks great. I mean, it looks Diablo as shit, and I'm super excited.
I'm excited for it. It was enough to keep me going for another year last BlizzCon. So.
Yeah,
I skipped it. It's a game I already know I want at this point. I'm only going to make myself excited and make the wait harder. So I skipped because I know I want that game.
Yeah, we all do. Bring that game out, Blizzard. We're ready right now. Speaking of Blizzard, Warcraft event was delayed. They were supposed to do on Tuesday a reveal event for Shadowlands, the upcoming expansion for World of Warcraft. They delayed it until we don't know. They haven't said. But it was supposed to be yesterday. And the thinking was they were going to have Ian and John Hight, producer of the game, stand there or be on camera talking about various features, maybe some things we haven't heard about yet. They delayed it due to the, at the time, riots and protests, but the riots have pretty much stopped and protests are happening now. I don't want to get into that, into those weeds. Anyway, so as a result, they pushed it, which I think was the right choice to do. There's a lot of controversy around it, given that, or around Blizzard anyway, because Blizzard really hasn't said much about this and everybody and their dog has said something about it. They're in a bit of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. We talked about it before the show a little bit, but given their BlizzChung mess of last year and all that stuff surrounding Hearthstone and Hong Kong and those protests, maybe they're just a little gun shy on it and don't want to, you know, get tangled up in that. I don't know. I don't really know what I expect from any of that, except I wish, you know, I think it was the right thing to do, and I hope for cool things out of this reveal when they show it. So more on that in, of course, the instance end here when we hear about it. We will see. Okay. I think that's it. There's not much else going on out there. Kind of quiet.
Yeah, everything kind of got delayed. We're yep. coming up to the end of things being delayed and news.
Yep, and tomorrow you got your Sony business, so... Plenty to say tomorrow, that I can promise you. But today we have this. Games that we're playing. So I have a shocking revelation for you guys and the chat room and everybody listening to the podcast. Civilization 6 on the Switch is really good. Like, intensely, weirdly good. I don't know how they pulled this off. It's not only... this is so weird. And I'm playing it on a light, so I'm not even doing it on a big screen or whatever. But it's perfectly... suited for the way the controller setup is on that device. They figured out a way to make all that feel fine. Like, none of it feels weird. None of it makes you go, oh, where's my mouse and keyboard? Like, they've really pulled that off. It's full Civilization with every feature. It's not some watered down thing like the old Revolution game. Remember that? That was a weird thing they did for old consoles. Yeah. PS3, Xbox 360, I think, had them. Anyway, this is a full-blown version of that game, and the port is really solid. The load times are fine. The actual moment-to-moment stuff looks great. Great frame rate. No hitching and weirdness. You do all the same stuff. You can play a full game of that game. It's crazy. It's crazy how good it is. I'm totally shocked how good it is. I got it for $15 on Amazon. So I was just like, well, that's dumb not to pay that little for it. Let's just try it because I want to talk about it on the show. And I ended up burning hours of that thing in bed. I stayed up way too late last night playing it.
Well, that's what it'll do.
That's what it's for.
That's the reason why I'm not going to get it on Switch is because I don't need another place to eat that kind of time. The other day, I thought, I'll just load it up. I'll play it for a little bit.
Yeah, how'd that go?
I think I played it for 9 or 10 hours straight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem. That game.
I was even logged into Deep Rock Galactic, and I didn't hear a peep from him. I was like, I wonder if he can pull himself away from Civilization. I'm not going to bother him, but
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
No, I couldn't because I was embroiled in political intrigue. There was wars being declared, and I couldn't find a foothold. And you know, they were mad that I had taken Baghdad and renamed it Bag Mom because I thought that was funny.
Nice. Well done.
I actually thought the reason for that was I thought because we fought a war over this city that I took. Okay. He shouldn't have settled there. I told him not to settle there. He said I won't. And then he did it anyway.
Who did? So your ally or somebody? Or who?
He wasn't really my neighbor. I don't know any of the leaders' names. I can't remember any of them.
It's Teddy Roosevelt and the rest. Yeah.
I even forget Teddy Roosevelt because I go back to old Civ games and I'm like, I think it was George Washington. And it's like, he's not in this one. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was 5, I think. He was the dude.
But anyway, so I wanted this city back. And so we went to war. I ended up taking the city. I turned it into a fantastic city that was very happy and very prosperous and all of that. And every couple of 100 years or so, he'd denounce me because I owned his city. But at the end of the war, he gave it to me. It was in the thing saying like, hey, I'll give you this city. And then he got pissed about it constantly. And I thought, well, maybe there's some programming thing where he just recognizes that that's the name of his city. So I wanted to change the name of the city and I didn't know what to name it. And the city happened to be Baghdad. So I just changed it to Bag Mom.
Bag Mom.
And yeah.
That's a good Baghdad joke.
Yeah.
It is a Baghdad joke. And I'm proud of it. It did not stop him from denouncing me constantly.
Well, I mean, this is like real life, though. These leaders, despots.
I'd do that if you took my city away from me and renamed it.
Yeah, plus 100 years later.
But I made it an awesome city.
But 100 years later, people forget. They don't pay attention to history. We're having a bit of that now.
Well, that's the problem with Civilization is the world leaders are immortal. Like it's always the same guy for 2,000 years.
Yeah,
that's
weird.
It's like Christopher Columbus is like, quit settling near our land. Maybe not. What's his name? Washington.
No.
Al Washington?
Well, this one's
George Washington. Al Washington, leader of America.
Yeah.
George Washington. Is it George Washington at 6? Well,
then this no, else? 6 is no, 6 is Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah.
It's that's right.
Yeah.
Roosevelt.
And then 5 was Washington and the one before that 4 was Lincoln. And you know what's weird is I know all the narrators for that. So 4 was Spock, was Leonard Nimoy. 5 was that old guy.
It was the dude from Harry Potter, right?
Richard Harris?
Not Richard Harris.
Wasn't it Dumbledore?
No, not Richard Harris and not the other Dumbledore.
Alan Rickman?
No.
I thought it was Dumbledore.
It's not Dumbledore. I can't remember his name. He's in a whole bunch of stuff and just died recently-ish. Crap. Anyway, he's great. And then this time it's Sean Bean is in there.
Yeah, he's good.
Who's alive for real, but has died a billion times in every movie he's in. I'm surprised he's dying.
I was gonna say he dies at the end of every Civilization.
Yeah,
you know Twitter's gonna be unbearable the day he actually dies.
Oh my gosh, dude, are you kidding? It's gonna be like Abe Vigoda all over again because that guy would never die.
It's gonna be like, oh, the year 2028. and it's gonna be a picture of the year 2027 or something, and everyone's just like so sick of these stupid jokes that we make on social media.
Hopefully we're done now. Maybe less of those before 2027, I hope. I don't know. Maybe. But anyway,
William Morgan Shepherd is who the chat room is saying narrated.
That's the guy. He's great. And whenever you see a movie, because he was in a whole bunch of older movies, and if you if you ever see that dude in a movie and you hear him talk, do any dialogue, you immediately go, if you spent any time in Civ 5, you immediately go, I know that voice. I know that guy.
Yeah.
You know,
it's pretty distinct. And I played Civ 5 the most, probably, too.
Last night I was playing.
Yeah, 5 has the most played.
I did, too. But I played this. I was playing in bed. Here's my Switch, okay? And I'm playing in bed. And suddenly it goes, well done, you did the thing with the deal or whatever. This voice says, you know, gives me a congratulations for reaching a milestone. And my wife goes, she doesn't even look at me. She's watching TV. She watched some British comedy or something. And she just says to me out of the corner of her mouth, she goes, why is Ned Stark on your Switch? I said, hey, honey, you did a nice job. Good work. Season 1, Game of Thrones, 10 years ago. Anyway.
So I actually want to mention a game. It's currently on early access on Epic Games because Bo said this, and it reminded me, for anybody else that thinks, yeah, the fact that the leaders are immortal are a problem, is that there is a game by Civ developers who've gone on to do their own things called Old World, where your leaders actually age and die, and you have to raise up the next generation of leaders, which can have their own traits when they take over. So you have to try and train them to have the traits that you want. So there's kind of a political angle with your nation's leader as well, as you don't just get to go, I'm George Washington and these are my traits forever. Like, eventually that leader will die and need to be replaced with somebody else.
Right. So, it looks really cool. I keep being tempted to grab it, but I don't. And I think the reason I haven't is because A, it's early access, and B, I just don't know how long it's going to be over on Epic's store. And I just prefer not to. I mean, I don't know. It's like $50 or $30, but what is it?
$49? I have it up. It's $39.99.
Oh, well, maybe. Because you know that'll probably go up at launch, because that's how they do it. It's like $10 less if you get it during early access or whatever. Mm-hmm. How far along is it? Do we know how far along they are? Like, are we getting close on that thing?
I don't know. They don't say.
I want to play it.
I feel like it's a pretty, you know, fairly complete package. It looks like
I want to play it. I'm looking at video right now. It makes me, because the lineage there with like X Civ developers and designers, the look of it is very cool, and just what you just described with the sort of the succession stuff is super unique and interesting, and I want to play it. I think I may have to get it. Oh, why are we talking about this? I'm gonna go spend $39 tonight. That's what's gonna happen.
I mean, that's what this show's there for. Get you to spend money.
You're still
money.
Playing Civ 6. We don't need the other game.
I know that, Bo, but I have a problem.
You're in the middle of a Civ 6 game. This is why I didn't buy Europa Universalis. You're in the middle of a game save file.
But what if this is so good that it will put to shame anything Civ ever tried to do? Then I mean, what?
You'll find that out once you're done with your save file.
I say go for it, Scott, because then you can report back on the show next week.
No,
I mean, unless it's that exciting. If you're like, you know, I wouldn't want anyone stop me buying Final Fantasy VII Remake, but I think that you're pretty quick to get into this state, and you need to put elastic on your wrist and snap it.
You guys are these little, you're the little people on my shoulder. John is specifically in a little red suit with horns, and Bo is a little angel guy, and you're telling
me. I mean, he's a monster you grew out of letting him bully you around in Heroes of the Storm with the skin shot thing. Like, you're like, oh no, it's funny, keep it up, and now here we are thousands of dollars later.
Yeah.
You're like, why is he like that?
You're not wrong.
It looks good. I like it has a very painterly aesthetic to it that I like a lot.
I like those clouds for the Fog of War stuff. They kind of roll in and move and animate. It looks neat. I think it
Notice what I did? I ignored Bo's very valid, very solid point, and then pointed out the art to the artist on the show.
I saw what you did there.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you can just do a Google image search and download some JPEGs and enjoy the art. I don't think you need to spend the money on the video game. I know it helps when they move around and look cool, but you know.
Well, the other thing is okay, and this, one of the things I like about it, it's a totally dumb thing, and I'm sure I won't care when it happens, but the way these games always are, including Civ, you know, the representation of your warriors, for example, are three sort of big dudes for where they're standing. You know, three big guys or four or five, whatever it is, out there getting ready to fight. In this thing, you're represented by a giant, what looks like a giant, jolly green giant, except he's not green. And he's just standing there on the tile like, meh, and he looks scale-wise just like a giant next to the city, not just an avatar of what you might have there. And I think that's cool to see those dudes stomping around and looking all like huge and 50 stories tall. Anyway, I'm in the mood for this kind of game right now. And so I'm just...
It's in their top sellers right now.
Yeah, it's itch. I got an itch. And I got to be... you know what? I need
Keep in mind, you're playing Civ, and this is a game that'll definitely go on sale.
Yeah. Yes. And Civ's what, 3 years old? 4 years old now, almost?
I mean, I didn't buy Civ till I got like a free expansion pack with it. And I was very excited for Civ 6. I talked about it a lot. Like, I do. Like, it's funny because we'll talk about how hyped I am for games and I won't play them for a year. Like Borderlands 3.
Yeah.
Still going to be playing that. I'm going to get back to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the game will be there for you and it might even be on sale.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Just
look at this cool quest in the screenshot, though, Scott.
I know.
Poor elderly farmer comes to court bearing a blade of unusual metal covered in exotic designs. He discovered it in a deep network of caverns on his lands, and he believes it would make a worthy gift for a ruler. Will you take the sword?
Wow. I think I might, and I might pay $40 for that sword. Listen to this. This review here at the end, it says, worth a buy? 100% yes. It is one of the most interesting 4X games I have ever played, and I have played them all. With something to do every turn, it helps avoid the stagnant mid-game feel of many 4X games. It makes me excited to see how Civilization and Humankind raise their bar to compete with this, and I'm confident, however, that they will raise the bar. Old World will be equal to that challenge as well. The golden age of historic 4X genre is upon us.
Wow. Sounds like their PR guy wrote that for them.
Kinda. But this is this is from a website called Bluntly Honest Reviews, so I don't know what to take.
Oh, I thought it was a Steam review. Sorry.
No, not okay. Steam. I don't know, not Steam.
I was like, that's oddly well written English for a Steam review.
Yeah. There's another one here from Rock Paper Shotgun. They do okay. They say, hold on, what's the final word on this? The deeper you wade into Old World, the less like Civilization it becomes, until soon it is only really the hexagons and the race to build the Parthenon, tying them together. It is a story engine as much as a strategy game, one that revels in the playful details of the past and represents history's ancient rulers, not as the pompous set of weirdos you're familiar with, but as the capricious drunks, disastrous idiots, and beautiful freaks with monkey butlers. I'm in!
That sounds great. Hold on. I think I sold myself on it.
I think I might have, too.
So I'm sold on it, too. You just don't have to buy it today.
I love it. I really want to animate this.
My comment had nothing to do with the quality of the game. I'm pretty excited to try it myself at this point.
But well, somebody out there is a good animator. Animate.
You're playing Civilization, and you like Civilization as well.
No,
you
started
a Civilization save file. And we need to see it through because you also want to play that game.
No, you're right. But here's the thing.
No, I'm not. You're going to buy it, John.
People need to animate this whole conversation with me and you guys on my shoulders, having to use the audio from the show. I want to see this thing. And I want to see Bo at the end going, fine, whatever. Turn his little white back to me and go, whatever. You're going to do it. Just get it. It's fine. It's going to go on sale, but just go ahead and get it.
I mean, who am I to argue with Rock Paper Shotgun?
I love it. Throwing a little shade on the review source to support the Angels' argument.
Like the paid advertisement / review said the game was great. So it must be good.
I want to. By the way,
take anything and ruin it.
But you'll like this segment. They have a segment every week where they do early access reviews, and the name of this column is premature evaluation. That's pretty good.
That's a good name.
Yeah,
that's a good Baghdad joke.
Yeah, it's a pretty good Baghdad bad mom joke or whatever. All right, enough of this. Where was I? Oh, Deep Rock, playing a lot of that, of course, loving it. Animal Crossing, also loving it. Went to John's Island today. He had a real sweet deal on turnips. Sold my turnips, made a bundle, got out of there.
Yeah, you were dressed as a giant hot dog.
Yep, I got a hot dog suit and a hot dog hat, and I look like an idiot, and I loved it. Oh, I'm wearing Crocs as well, or the video game's version of Crocs. And went over to John's place, sold a ton of those, made about $1 million, gave him $100,000 and left. And you made good money today, like 500, half a million bells, just letting people in your town.
Yeah, just on tips.
Yeah, so that was pretty good. Plus, here's my favorite. Okay, if you want to get good tips, here's the kind of island you want to run. I go to John's Island, walk out of the airport. What do I see? A lawn chair thing with John on it. He's laying on it, and he's wearing a suit. Now, normally this happens. When people leave their doors open, they just sit there because they don't want to do anything while people are there because for reasons. But I go walking past this thing, and John immediately sits up, stands up, and goes. Like this, his character does. And I thought, oh, he's just doing that for me because we're pals and we're podcast buddies and stuff. So whatever, I'm running to a store. But then I notice other people arriving, and John is laying on the thing, and they walk past. He gets up and goes and claps at him. It is amazing. So you deserve those $500,000 in tips. You're a fine host, and Animal Crossing rocks. The game's great. And then finally, to scratch my turn-based itch, the thing I actually put the most time in this week outside of Deep Rock was Battletech again, because I got in the mood. I was either going to be that or XCOM, and I'm in the mood for mechs. I want some mechs in my life. I want to have big, giant mechs fighting and blowing each other up, and I want to do it turn-based and strategically. So fired that up again, started a new, not campaign, but they call it, once you've done the campaign, you can play a, it's like a sandbox mode, but I forget what they call it. They actually have a name for it. But you basically, a career, I guess. Oh, that's what it's called, career. That's what it is. And you're doing missions, flying to other planets, dropping your mechs down there, wiping stuff out, taking over city or taking back cities, assassinating mechs that need to go, that sort of thing, fixing your mechs in between, doing the whole upgrade your systems and stuff kind of XCOM style while you do that. It's fantastic. That game is so good. It has an amazing soundtrack, great visuals. Just a, if you got a mech itch, just go, come scratch it over here, play some Battletech. It's very good.
I do. I need to get that game because it was on my list when all that stuff was on sale. I was very tempted by it. I have a mech itch right now.
So. I think you'd like it, especially on sale. It's a kind of a, oh, you know what? I might actually have a code. Don't do anything yet.
Ooh.
I'll look.
I like that even better.
I might have a code. Let's see if I can find it. All right. John, what have you? You got Command & Conquer Remastered at the collection.
I did.
Shit, I almost picked that up too. So how's that?
That is super cool. But boy, that's an old game and it shows its age. But they did do a lot of work to remaster it. So this is the original Command & Conquer and all of its expansions and the original Command & Conquer Red Alert and its expansions. And it's solid. First of all, I would recommend this game if you have nostalgia for the game.
Yeah.
This is not an RTS that holds up by today's standards. So if you're a big RTS fan and you're just like, I liked Warcraft 3 and I want to try something, it might feel a little dated for you. You even have to go into settings and they literally have settings broken out to where it says original and modern, because they're acknowledging like, yeah, this stuff was not optimized back then. And some of the modern features is right click to move, because in the original you left clicked to move. Yeah. Or the ability to queue up building multiple things at a time, which you could not do originally in Command & Conquer. So they have put some modern elements into the game, not a ton, to kind of bring it up to speed. But it's super cool. You can tell this was done by people who just love this series, because there is stuff in there that just, it's only interesting if you've ever played the original. Like when you load up the game for the first time, it goes through a whole custom install video, because back in the day when you installed Command & Conquer, it did a little movie while it was installing to make you feel like it was doing futuristic military stuff while it installed on your computer.
Yeah.
Well, obviously we don't install games that way anymore. So they just play it when you load the game the first time.
Oh,
so that
that's
it
awesome.
Has some connection to that as well. You can switch between old style graphics and new style graphics. You unlock a ton of bonus content. You get to see the green screen original videos of them doing takes of the lines between stuff.
My understanding is they use like PlayStation 1 versions of the cinematics because it's the highest resolution they can. They have no other masters that are good enough or something.
Yeah, they actually had a lot of trouble finding the finding video that they could use. But they even have one of the first videos that's unlocked will do a split screen of what the original looked like and what the up-res that they found and did the work on next to it. And it looks good. It looks pretty solid. Red Alert doesn't look as good. It looks like they went through and applied like a comic book filter to it to maybe hide some of that quality issues. But man, the music in that game is so good.
It is good.
Command & Conquer has phenomenal music. And it was just a big nostalgic trip for me. And it made me realize... So when I went back and I played Warcraft 3, every now and then they'd do a mission in that game where it was hold out for 30 minutes. And when I played those missions, I remember thinking, 30 minutes? Are they out of their minds? This is forever. This is an eternity. And now that I've played Command & Conquer, I realize why that is. Some of those missions last 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it's over. It's like, oh, click this, click this, click this. Good job. You did it. There's a mission. On to the next mission. And you're like, that was it? Great.
Yeah.
It's super cool. I highly recommend it if you have any nostalgia for it. It's $20, so it's not even a full-priced game. And you get a lot of content for it. And it just made me really appreciate those games and that sort of genre that I was way into way, way back in the day. And those cutscenes are great.
Yeah, the cutscenes are amazing. If you don't even want to play the game, I recommend just hunting those down on YouTube and watching them because they're just insane. That maybe the peak of the FMV world of the time. It's really good stuff. And then they remastered the music. You can probably tell playing it, right? It just should sound better because they remastered.
Yeah, it sounds really good. They by default they actually give you they call it bonus where you get new tracks as well as just remastered music all mixed in together, so you get a little bit of both.
Yeah,
and I just immediately cranked it as soon as I started playing Red Alert and Hell March came on, which is the most famous track from Command & Conquer.
Yeah.
I just cranked up the music and enjoyed the hell out of it.
What if I have that somewhere? Hold on. Hell March, right?
Hell March, yeah.
I think I have a taste of that. Let me just play a little bit of that. CNC Hell March. Here we go. I don't know if this is the original take or what, but we're going to find it. Oh, yeah, it's the original.
Oh, it's so good.
I'll skip ahead some. It's pretty great.
I love that. Yeah. I love it.
So good. Anyway, good. I'm glad you got it and liked it. Deep Rock. Oh, can you report on the... So you did the thing where you prestiged, basically, and now you can do those super Deep Rock things. What's that like in there? Real hard, I guess, right?
Yeah, I actually can't report too much about it because I went in by myself, which it allows you to do. And I got trounced. They give you multiple of what your normal assignments are. So like I had to go down and I had to repair either one or two of those like smaller gatherer bots.
Yeah.
And then I also had to gather X number of some other mineral. So it was two major objectives, but not as much as what you would do on a normal mission, but they throw way more stuff at you. And that's part one of three. So once you complete that, then it goes to another part. I can't even tell you what happens in the break between them because I died before I got there. It was brutal. You guys know the enemies that explode when they die, the huge explosions. I was out of ammo completely. I was trying to find enough nitra to resupply, and there were three of those attacking me.
Oh my gosh.
So I will try that again when you guys can go down there with me, because it's pretty rough.
I'm pretty close. Bo, I think, did. You are enough to go down there, right? You're good?
For promotion? Yeah, I promoted.
Okay, so you can go down there, yeah. I think, now. Okay. I need to hurry
up. Down there. I guess I'm just doing the main like assignment mission that you get after, so you get access to the deep dive.
Right. Yeah, there's a long assignment mission after you promote.
Yeah, it's 9 missions long. It was a slog, but a good one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. But you're there really if you want to be. I'm behind them.
The missions quickly. Like, I was at a point, because usually when I'm playing in the levels, I'm very thorough. But when I saw it was 9 missions, I was like,
I'm going to hurry these up.
Yeah, I got to speed through these. one of the missions, too, was it was a negative mod, so it had a ghost in it. Have you played one with a ghost?
Oh, the ghost was rough.
No, explain the ghost.
So that wasn't the worst part. It was in a frost level, frost biome. And one of the eggs, because I had to get into combat, I dropped the egg and it fell. You know those plant areas with the holes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With the air that shoots up?
Yeah.
It fell in the bottom and the air wasn't shooting it up. But try digging around the hole while you have this invincible ghost chasing you around. I spent 2.5 hours. I spent 2.5 hours digging the hole. Like I go back, the ghost would come, and then I have to kite him all the way to the other end of the cavern and then run back and try and dig. But I had to dig so much, because if you're even a pixel on top of that steam, it shoots you into the air and you can't pickaxe anymore. It was the most frustrating thing I have ever accomplished.
Wow. I haven't had this ghost thing.
I should have canceled the level and just did a different one or something. It was awful.
The haunted modifier is rough. The ghost does not mess around. It hunts you constantly. It doesn't stop. You can't slow it down. It does a ton of damage. It is rough.
Basically 2 hits and you're dead.
So wait, you can't kill it, or you can kill it?
You can't kill it. It's a ghost.
Well, that is some bullshit, is what that is.
Ghosts have bullshit powers.
I don't like that at all.
I mean, I assume that's how it works in real life, too. If I shoot a gun at it, it's cool. But then it puts its little fingers in my face, and I'm like, the cold touch of death is upon me.
No kidding. I don't think I like that. There was a new patch today for that game, or yesterday, I guess, that added a new creature to fight, and some new stuff to do.
New objectives, added new terrain to some of the biomes, which, you know, I still run into biomes where it's like I've been there before, but I see things that I've never seen before.
Yes.
The gas peonies that we saw, that was new that day.
Yeah.
So you never know what you're going to run into.
Yeah.
The fields and fields of peonies.
I love that game for that. I love that I feel like it's always showing me some weird new configuration of things that I haven't experienced before.
Something new yesterday.
Oh, yeah? What'd you see?
There's still tons of new stuff that we haven't seen either.
What'd you see yesterday?
I forget. I had it in my mind when I said it, and I was like, please don't ask. Please don't ask, because I just all of a sudden blanked. And you're like, so what'd you see? And I'm like, damn it, I gotta be honest.
No, I understand.
No, it was some... I don't know.
5 detonators.
I'm really trying.
5 detonators turn to gold when you blow them up. Is that what happened? No, probably.
Well, there's definitely some plants. They look like grape plants. Like they have grapes on the end. That was new, but that wasn't it. There was something more shocking that was new.
What? I wonder what it was. It does do that though. The game's weird that way. Every time. Yeah,
and I don't mean like. I think it was maybe it was the ghost actually. I don't know. Like I hadn't seen the ghost before. No, I don't think that's.
I don't know.
Something happened. I can't remember what exactly. It had to do with darkness, I think. I'm just drawing a blank. I'm sorry. Like I know. Right. I remember the emotional feeling of that moment of like, holy shit.
Yeah.
A new thing again. But I just can't remember what it was, and I was alone, so I can't rely on any like funny comment anyone made, like peonies or something like that.
Right. Well, I mean, the biggest new moment that happened to me ever, and then we'd all experienced it at one point, and then we all saw it together, was that gold crater left by an exploding detonator. That was something else, man.
Well, no, that wasn't it.
That wasn't it.
That was something else. That is one of the things I had was like the first time it happened, because that wasn't the first time it happened.
Yeah.
We got the big gold rush.
Right.
The first time it happened, I was really shocked.
I was so excited about it. At first, I wasn't sure what was going on. I thought it glitched. I'm like, wait a minute. What is the surface I'm on? This isn't...
It's oh no, that might have been it.
Oh, was that it?
That maybe because we didn't do a show last week, and I was so impressed with it, I tweeted it out. I mean, that was one of the things.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, because we played last week, and then we hung around on that crater forever trying to get it cleaned up. It's a lot faster with the robot guy.
It was a good shift. Yeah.
Just to clarify for people who have not played what we're talking about, there are these enemies in that game, these giant bugs that when you kill them, they explode, and all the terrain in that game is deformable, so it will leave a crater.
Big one.
And in the case of these specific gold ones, when they blow up, everything in that crater becomes gold, which is mineable for currency. So you get a ton of currency. I mean, it's if you have a good run, you might leave with, you know, 500 or 600 of it and go, wow, yeah, that was a really good run. Well, we knew it was going to happen, and we pulled it into a tiny little like cavern so that we would get the maximum explosion. And the four of us proceeded to, because Kyle was there as well, spend about 20 minutes mining the gold from this explosion. It took a long time.
Yeah.
And we walked out with, what was it, like 4,000 gold or something like that?
Yeah.
It was insane.
It was great.
We walked away with so much.
It's the most gold I've had in the game, I think.
Yeah.
Except didn't you guys had a game, I wasn't there, I think, where two of those things blew up in the left craters, or was that the one?
We had one with two, but we didn't get, I think you were the one where we had the optimal blow.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I took a screenshot of it. The amount of gold mined, because we had another objective. We mined 3,079 gold, but we also had bonuses. It paid out 13,189 of the game's credits.
That's crazy. Yeah, I remember
the biggest haul I've ever done.
I remember I could afford a lot of things when we got back. I remember that.
Yeah.
Those are good times. All right. We've talked about some of this other stuff. John, you did try to run Burnout Paradise in between all this and it wouldn't run. Is that what happened?
Yeah. I don't know. No, you wrote that. I haven't tried to run
it.
Oh,
did I wrote it on yours? Why did I do that?
I don't know.
Won't run for me.
Oh, I guess I was going to remind me that it doesn't run for me, but we already talked about it, but it ran for you.
Yeah, nothing new or surprising. I played a lot of Civ 6. I played too much, maybe an unhealthy amount on a particular day or two. Burnout Paradise and Animal Crossing, but really nothing new to talk about in any of those.
It's great, though, because everything you've mentioned, again, are not ones where we have to donate too much of our brain to get it done. You know what I mean? Like, these are just fun, blow off some time kind of experiences, which I think are helpful in times like these. Bo, you also, in addition to lots of rock dwarving, you played Divinity 2 again with friends. Mm-hmm. I played with you one of those times since we last talked, but then you guys played again last night. How's that going?
Well, I mean, we're in Fort Joy, and we're just clearing out all the side quests and everything. We saved Gareth.
Oh, nice.
And not to be confused with Garrett.
No.
Gareth. And we are just going to be at the final fight for Act 1. So
nice.
I don't know if we're going to play tomorrow, but soon.
Sometime.
But it's really exciting to see my friend who hasn't played a real video game in a decade like be resistant at first, but cautiously. And now he's into it,
right?
I can't play. And then, wait, I can play. You know, when people pull those, like I do it all the time. Like, I can't play today, I'm busy. And then at 7, you get a message like I'm logging into Deep Rock Galactic.
Yeah.
And you're like, I thought you were busy. I made plans. I would have done that.
Yeah.
You know, so he's kind of doing stuff like that. And I'm just encouraging it because I'm happy to see him enjoying himself.
Divinity 2 is just a cool-ass game anyway. I'm glad he's having fun in there. And a reminder, he's playing all of this on, GeForce Now.
Yep, and GeForce Now on a 15-year-old Apple laptop.
Yeah.
Maybe not 15, like 12.
It's like 12 years. That's plenty long. And he's playing just fine. It's running great for him. You know, he's having a good time.
It runs better than Diablo 3 on minimal set. Like, the Diablo 3 runs at about 15 frames per second on the lowest settings on his laptop for frame of reference.
Yeah.
He has, through streaming, he has Divinity 2 on Ultra.
Yeah, running great. It's cool. Like, it's great. You can start to see the case you can make for streaming. You can start to see it. I think this has been a fun experiment. We're going to see how it goes throughout the rest of it. But anyway, Divinity 2, good stuff. All right. Now this.
That's a good question.
Time for a quick email from, who's this from? Don't have a name. We'll call him BS Gray 13. That's his name. He says the following: Animal Crossing is a subject. Hey guys, love you all. Oh, really? Scott, it's been interesting hearing you talk a lot about Animal Crossing, and apparently for a lot of people, this has been the first entry in the series for them. He says, What really sticks out, what's wrong with my browser? Browser's freaking out. It says, what really sticks out is when people point out the little details they find charming, but those details are sometimes features or characters that all go all the way back to the N64 version of the game. My friend and I have been playing since the GameCube, and we were just talking about how the Switch version is maybe the least happy either of us have felt about the series. That's crazy to me. I think this one is, I have crescendoed with this one. This one has taken me all the way to my happy place. Anyway, it says, just because of how few characters have been added and the kind of odd tweaks made to holidays and how terraforming kind of reduces the charm of making the best with what you have. I'm just curious, would you be interested in playing an older version of the game just to see what it would be like? I'm curious what your take on it might be in retrospect, since I can't seem to see the same gushing love I've been hearing all the others saying at present. So it's an interesting point. I've played every game since the N64 version as well, and I say that knowing that it never hit N64 here in the States. That was the Japanese version. It came to the GameCube, but it was just a port of that N64 game. But I've been playing since then, and I've played every version of the game on every platform it's come out on. They didn't do one for the Wii U, so I don't have it there. I don't think they did. But I played all the DS iterations. I played the 3DS game. Oh, the only one I didn't is the house decorator one that was like a weird separate thing that wasn't
the quite Happy Home Designer.
That one, yeah. And I also have hardly barely touched the phone thing that they do because I'm not into the free-to-play crap.
Yeah, so. I played Pocket Camp as well for a very little bit and then went, no.
Yeah. Same reaction I had. Same exact reaction. I was like, this is not what I want out of Animal Crossing. But having played all of them, I'm having the reverse experience, and them adding things like the miles ticket stuff and making it so I kind of have quests to do all the time has been a huge boon to that game. The amount of items that there are that show up randomly and or that you can buy in your store or show up out of a box that you shot out of the air or you dug up out of the ground. Like, all that weirdness is way more than it ever was before. The detail in the game, the actual graphic fidelity of the game is great. So every little thing you get, it feels like a cool little thing. Like today, they had a computer for sale in mine that was 100,000 bells, but it was pink. And I'm like, I don't want a pink one. I want a black one or a beige one, but it looked like a 90s gaming computer. And I really wanted that. Anyway, I found a retro rocket, and I can open it up and look inside and shut it and, you know, just stupid little things like that are so detailed in this one that it's just great eye candy. So that's another thing I love about it. And the terraforming, I have the opposite opinion of. I don't think it makes the game. I think it adds so much to the game because in the past, you couldn't change anything about your environment, like nothing. So I think in 2020, in a world where Minecraft and other games have come along and said, hey, what if the world was terraformable? Like even Deep Rock Galactic, where we're blowing stuff up all the time and the world changes beneath our feet. There's almost an expectation for that kind of world control, and I think they've implemented a really fun, interesting way of doing that in this game. So I actually kind of totally disagree with this writer,
except to say
would be interesting to play an old one, but I've played them all, and this is my favorite one, so I don't know. I don't know what to tell
you. I'm going to disagree as well. I haven't played all of them. I played the original on the GameCube. I played Wild World on the DS. I played New Leaf. It's probably the one I've played the most of, either that or the original, and then now with New Horizons. So those are the ones I played.
Yeah.
And I think I remember when I went from the original to Wild World, and I remember thinking, well, when I played the original, the only thing I cared about was getting the old arcade cabinets that let you play NES games inside Animal Crossing. I don't know if you guys remember that you could do that.
I do. You can play like a balloon fight or something. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the cool rare items you could get was a little console and you could play NES games in it. And they got rid of that. Yeah. That was only in that original. And I remember thinking that was the main thing I did besides my like take the fossils to the museum and then you can make some bells and all of that. Like besides that stuff, I just collected the original NES library that they put in there. And that was, how am I going to care about this game after? And they found a way through opening up your other options. And now with New Horizons, I will say that it's interesting that that dynamic has shifted, because in New Leaf, I cared about making my house perfect.
Yeah.
And it was, oh, I want to have the best looking house. In this one, I don't care about my house that much. Every time I wind up, you know, the stock market goes really well, I'm like, I guess I can upgrade my house. But honestly, I don't care. I haven't done anything with my house. My house looks like crap. If anybody goes and visits it, a minimal amount of effort has been put into making that house look okay.
Yeah.
And because I don't care, because the thing I do care about is making my island look neat and doing interesting things with my island. So I feel like they've just moved that. And for me, that's been a better shift. I've been more interested in making the island look the way I want it to look than I was making my home look the way I wanted it to look in New Leaf.
Mm. That's interesting.
I will say, however, I do miss the captain from New Leaf and his song, because his song is so good.
Yeah, you're obsessed with that song that he played.
That's really good.
Did we play it on the show before?
I think we did.
Did we? Okay. I don't remember. Wait, hold on. What was his name? Captain, what was it?
I think it's just like Cap'n with a K. K-A-P-N.
Cap'n Animal Crossing. Here he is.
New Leaf song.
Yeah, let's see. I think I have it right here. Let's just give it a listen. Here we go. Oh, someone took it with their phone camera. Oh, and he skipped it. This guy doesn't understand how the world works.
I'll give you a good version.
Okay. Pop it in there, will you? Put it in the chat.
There you go. Okay. I put it in Discord.
All right, I'm hitting play now. Here we go. All right. Isn't that nice? And he just takes you all the way to your little island. You're going to get some moths and some fruit. Yeah, you know what? Screw KK Slider. This guy's the man.
He's way better than KK Slider. And I went to all this effort to put on a stupid concert for KK Slider. I was like, bring back the captain. His song is way better.
Yeah, he should come back. Maybe they will. I mean, they've been updating this thing like crazy, and they've been doing, you know, new content and tweaks and patches, and you know, who knows, maybe he'll be.
And it's not just that his song is better,
yeah,
in that how it sounds, but if you look at the lyrics of what he sings like really emotional kind of songs.
Yeah.
Like the lyrics to them.
Yeah.
They're really good. He's talking about his life at sea and how much he loves his wife and how he doesn't see her enough. It's good. And then he gives little comments in the middle.
Here's a nice little cover of it. Hold on.
Staying eyes about, having a mischievous smile.
Is that in a different language?
I don't know.
I didn't understand a thing they said.
She's going, it's all coming out of her nose. I don't know what's going on there.
Here's the lyrics to one. I can't sing. I'm not going to sing it. But one of the lyrics to a song is, I can't keep track of all me licenses, man. It seems the government can charge me all day long. First there's me ship, then me car, then me business license too. It's not fair. I don't care. I won't pay, and they'll tax this song.
Wow. Look at the civil unrest in the boat. That's awesome.
So good.
That's awesome.
That's one I found on a board. So if that's not an actual Cap'n song, it sounds like one.
All right. It does sound like one. Well, all right. There you go. Hopefully that helped address your question. Basically, we think you're wrong. All right. Moving on. That's going to do it for the show. Now, here's the deal. This show. Oh, sorry, Bo. Yes? You're going to say something?
Oh, we're okay. Oh, show's over. Okay.
Well, did you have something you wanted to add there at the end? What'd you have there?
No. I've reached peak saturation when it comes to Animal Crossing. I was gone.
You're zoned out. I get I was
waiting for the on ramp back on.
When people talk about Animal Crossing and their eyes glaze over, I mean, I don't blame them. I really don't.
I want you to talk about all that you want. I didn't mean to react badly.
But even I get it though. Like unless people are into the game, if they're into it, they get it. If they don't, I feel bad that they have to even deal with it. So just imagine all the other people, all the Bos in our audience today. They're just like, all right, enough with the Animal Crossing. We get it. They're saying to themselves,
why'd you talk about Battlegrounds and Hearthstone and all the new stuff in there?
Yeah, no thanks. I don't want to talk about that. All right. Hey, by the way, that email came to us at frogpants.com/core. There's a little form there. You just use it and boom, you got your email right here in our hand. So go use that all the time. It's got everything else as well. Frogpants.com/core. Support us at patreon.com/core show. And thanks to everybody who already does. Really appreciate you guys. It is keeping the lights on around here in Core Town. You can also leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find Bo and all his musings about Animal Crossing at Bo Schwartz. You can find John at John_Jagger, where he is probably 10 more hours into playing just one more turn in Civilization 6. And you can find me at Scott Johnson, where I'm probably buying and downloading that damn Epic Store game. Oh, you know what? They have a $10 coupon. That means I'll get it for 20
men. Match your Switch?
What, the who? The who?
Is your chair and your Switch match?
No, it's the chair's green and the Switch is yellow.
Oh, it looks yellow from this angle. I thought you had some real coordination going there.
Oh, it's a good question. It's a great question.
It looks intentional. Like, it looks yellow and it looks intentional.
As we always say.
That's a good question.
It's a good question, Bo. Well done. That's it for the show. If you want to watch us live, we're here on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Mountain Time at twitch.tv/frogpants or frogpants.tv. Either one will get you there. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Bo, for John. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.